been a good week if you're a pensioner. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, pledging to keep the triple lock system, which ensures the state pension goes up by whichever is higher, inflation, wages, or 2.5%. But there have been some local calls for Mr Cameron to commit to retaining the winter fuel allowance as a universal benefit. That means that all pensioners get it, even if they're very well off. The DUP deputy leader, Nigel Dodds, put the question to David Cameron during Prime Minister's question time.
May I also commend the Prime Minister, welcome the fact that he has committed to the triple lock guarantee for pensioners if he's returned as Prime Minister in the next Parliament. And can I therefore ask him to clarify whether, if he is elected as Prime Minister again in 2015 and in the next Parliament, he will commit to retaining the winter fuel allowance in its current eligibility thresholds and as a universal benefit?
Well, first of all, can I thank him for what he says about Paul Goggins. On the issue of pensions, I think it's important to recognise we're only able to make this commitment to the triple lock, which has been important in this Parliament because we've made a commitment to raise the pension age to 66 and then progressively 67 and so on. That means that this pension increase is affordable. We made a very clear pledge for this Parliament about the pensioner benefits, and I'm proud of the fact that we are fulfilling it. We will set out our plans in the next manifesto. But what I would caution people about is the belief that somehow if you don't pay, for instance, winter fuel allowance or the other benefits, if you don't pay them to those, for instance, paying tax at 40p, you save a very small amount of money. So, yes, of course, we'll set out our plans in the manifesto, but absolutely vital is saying to Britain's pensioners, you have worked hard, you have done the right thing. We want to give you dignity and security in old age, and the triple lock makes that possible.
So should all pensioners have their benefits protected? We heard from pensioners earlier in the week when we were talking about this and a similar subject in terms of they felt that maybe they didn't feel valued, what the Prime Minister was saying there. So I'm joined by Mark Littlewood, Director General of the Institute of Economic Affairs, and the commentator, Bishop Stephen Lowe. Good morning to you both. Bishop, I'm sure you're disappointed Stephen's not here. But first of all, Mark, what do you think about this? Should the pensioners have their benefits protected?
Well, no, I mean, I would take all of these fringe benefits, if you like, which have some real monetary value, the winter fuel allowance, the free TV licence that you get at a certain age, the bus pass, I would scrap them all.
And why?
Because, as David Cameron, I think he was sort of half right, it's an incredibly complex and bureaucratic process to go through, identify when somebody becomes a pension age, get them to fill in a long form to have a bus pass. What we should do is to work out the monetary value of these things. I think it's £200 is the winter fuel allowance, £300 if you're over 80. What's a bus pass per year? I don't know. £500, let's say, for sake of argument. Work out the total monetary value, scrap all the benefits, and just roll that up in the standard state pension. My parents are pensioners. Extraordinarily, I think I'm right in saying they got a £10 Christmas bonus. I mean, we've got to stop all of this rather finicky, rather bureaucratic stuff on the sidelines and just wrap it into a single straightforward benefit. And then, by the way, of course, the rich would contribute back more, because rather than having your sort of winter fuel allowance, and David Cameron's right, trying to work out who's a 40p taxpayer and who isn't would be a nightmare for the bureaucrats. But if it was all wrapped up in the state pension and you're a higher rate taxpayer, of course you'll be paying 40% of that back to the government. Whereas if you're on a rather thinner income, perhaps the pension is pretty much what you live off, you won't pay any of it back.
So what about that, Bishop? Bundle up the cost of all, or the cost-benefit of all of those little perks, as some would describe them, and effectively just give them the money.
Well, there are a number of problems, and particularly when we bear in mind in Northern Ireland that 20% of pensioners are living in poverty, and the problem of fuel poverty particularly is one which affects Ulster pensioners. And there's a very real issue here that the actual introduction of the winter fuel allowance was actually to try and relieve some of that fuel poverty which pensioners were undergoing and still undergoing. We know that from recent research done by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, that there are many people in Northern Ireland, many pensioners in Northern Ireland, who are still struggling to survive. And the fact that this money comes to them directly without any form filling and so on is, I think, a great release to many of them at the right time of the year to help them find some additional resources to stop them getting cold in winter. The problem is you tack it on to the ordinary pension that's spread throughout the year, and it doesn't help the pensioner focus particularly on making sure they keep warm in winter.
Yeah, there's no point, is there, Mark, of getting an element of your winter fuel allowance in June, July and August?
Well, I think that's a slightly patronising attitude towards pensioners. I mean, I think all people of all ages are aware that your fuel bill is higher in winter. You'll face different costs at different other times of the year. You know, I'm sure that grandparents like to buy birthday presents for their grandchildren, but we don't give them an extra payout around the time of their grandchildren's birthday. People actually spend a lot more money at Christmas because it's Christmas, let alone the winter fuel allowance. So I've got every confidence that pensioners are more than competent to organise their own affairs, that they know that, you know, during summer fuel bills are a bit lower, so you perhaps need to tuck a bit of money away for Christmas, January and February. I don't think that you need government bureaucrats to do that for you. And on the Bishop's point about, you know, there is fuel poverty, there is real poverty amongst a certain class of pensioners, and I think this is particularly true in Northern Ireland, but that again just goes to whether we're confident that the state pension is adequate. You don't need to have these highly complex range of additional benefits. You can argue about whether the state pension is about right, too low or too high, but let's just focus on that simple headline number, which will also mean, because of the income tax system, that we claw back quite a lot of it from the relatively affluent who don't need that sort of assistance. So let's make it simple, let's make it direct, let's trust pensioners to organise their own affairs. I do. I don't think we should patronise people who are old in the belief that they don't know that in winter their fuel bills are going to be higher. Of course they do, and I trust them to manage that. Let's have a simpler, purer system. If we could save some money on bureaucracy, we could actually increase the headline figure of the state pension as a whole.
Bishop, I can give you 30 seconds.
There isn't any bureaucracy particularly involved in this. I mean, why should we take away pensioners' bus passes, giving them freedom of movement and make them...
They might want to spend it on a bicycle rather than a bus.
Just let them choose. Mark. Why should we take away that freedom of movement for pensioners, which is...
They might want to spend it on another form of movement.
Why should we actually take away the extra provided for them in the winter to deal with fuel poverty on the assumption that somehow or other every pensioner is going to be able to competently budget throughout the year?
Bishop, thank you very much. Thanks also to Mark.